Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
So next week is building our future. That's it. You're switched on. I can tell. Next week we are giving financially. We're going to give as we do every single year. We have built our future every year since the doors of this church opened back in 2004. We have given financially to make sure that the future of the church is strong. And I think that journey this year within my array is particularly exciting as we look down the barrel of building our own brand new church building at number 8 Playo Street, which is unbelievable that we get to do this, like customized to our own needs, the needs of this campus, the needs of the community. Like, I pinch myself that we get to do this, that we're allowed to stake a claim in the ground in my array for generations. So it's awesome. And yeah, obviously, next week we give financially. Ken always says that the legacy must not stop with us. You know, we must be a link in the legacy chain. We must play our part. We must hand the baton on strong. You know, not on our watch will the church die. Amen? Not on our church watch will the work of Christ come to an end. And I want to say, as exciting as, like, the new building is, and trust me, I'm excited, I want to say it's not the most important thing. It's not the main thing. As great as it is, it's not the main thing. See, our interest is in building a building, but God's interest is in building a people. Like, God is primarily interested in building a people. The building, indeed, it is important. It's right that we and proper that we invest into it and see that thing happen. But what's even more important is the way that God is preparing his church. The way that he's preparing his church. Jesus is coming back for his bride. The scriptures tell us Jesus is coming back for his bride, and his bride is the church. And Ken and I received this prophetic word recently that said it was kind of all focused around this idea of preparing the bride, of getting a people ready. And I've been pondering and I've been meditating on what that might mean and what that might look like. See, Ephesians 5 likens the relationship that Jesus has with his church to a relationship between a husband and a wife. You're familiar with that passage of scripture? And it says that Jesus loves his church. He loves her, and he gave his life up for her. And he did so in order to present her to himself holy and blameless and clean and without spot and without blemish. This is the bride that Jesus is preparing, that he's coming back for. And she's pure and clean, and she's devoted to him. She's truly devoted to him. And I believe this truth has implications for you, and it has implications for me, because we as individual believers, we are the components that make up his church. Like, we are the bride. You're part of the bride. I am too. Jesus is not coming back for a building. He's coming back for a people. He's coming back, you know, for us. And one of the characteristics I strongly believe that the Lord requires or desires in his bride is that we would be faithful in all we say, in all we do. We would be faithful to him alone. When you think about a young bride, when you think about a young woman who is nearing her wedding day, is she not completely faithful? She's just devoted to the groom that she's about to marry. In everything that she says, in everything that she does, she just has him in mind. It's the way the world works. I think back to a young Chrissy Brasher. If you don't know who that is, that's me. That was my maiden name. And I was pretty over the moon to be marrying Ken Lee. Ken Lee. Many a noble woman had tried to win his attention. But I prevailed. This young, handsome. It's his birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, baby. He was a young, handsome Malaysian man with a thick head of black hair. Yeah, didn't last long. But it's a true story. And I remember spending hours, you know, just daydreaming and writing what would be my new name, you know, signing, practicing my signature. Any other young brides do that before their wedding day? You know, Christina Lee, C.O. Lee, Chrissy Lee, you know. And it was a true story. I did it because it was a reflection of my heart. I did it because I was completely faithful to Him. I did it because I was happy to belong to Him. I was happy to be counted as Him and give to Him in that place. You know, to be faithful is to be loyal and to be steadfast and to be one that can be relied on. And this is the kind of faithfulness that God is requiring from His bride. This is what He wants from us. You know, Israel as a people was so often condemned because they were unfaithful to God. So often they turned their back on God and they served other things. They served themselves or they served other gods. And in that place, God was displeased with them. And although today we live under a new and a better covenant, I know that it doesn't negate the fact that God is after faithfulness from His people, even in the 21st century. He wants faithfulness from us. And one of the primary ways that we demonstrate our faithfulness in life is with what we do with what we've got. Like, what will we do with what we've got? And we've all got these areas or these realms of responsibility. We've all got these areas that are ours to use. They're no one else's responsibility. They're our responsibility, and we can use them in faithful service to God. See, Ken preached a message called The Seeds of Legacy a couple weeks back. Do you remember that? It was a great message, and he talked about how God's calling us to be dominion stewards of currency and of the next generation. And he shared that how God is waiting and watching to see what we will do. Will we be faithful with the next generation? Will we be faithful with currency? In essence, the whole message was a message about faithfulness. But beyond these two areas, you know, currency and the next generation, there are actually more things that we have responsibility for. There is actually so much more that you can use in faithful service to God. Think about things like the dreams and the desires of your heart. Think about stuff like your gifts and your talents, all of your possessions, all of your resources, you know, all of the platforms of your influence, the spheres of people that you rub shoulders with. These are all within your realm of responsibility you can use in faithful service to God. And God is waiting and God is watching. What will we do with them? What will we do with them? Will we use them for His glory? Will we use them to serve Him, or will we simply just serve ourselves and our own life and our own ability? Like, you know, so much of, like as Ken said, so much of what we hold in our realm of responsibility, it can be likened to seed. But the problem with seed, so often, it's small. It's really, really small. And when something exists in seed form, we can be tempted to call it insignificant. There's a temptation when it's just in seed form to call it insignificant. Let's be honest. We all think that the fruitful tree is a lot more interesting and exciting than the seed that it came from. We all think that the end of a thing is more exciting than the beginning of a thing. And this is not a problem that's actually unique to us. This is a problem that's existed in humanity for a very long time. We read in the book of Zechariah, we drop in on a time in history where Joshua, the leader of Jerusalem, and Zerubbabel, the priest, they had a massive job in front of them. They were tasked with rebuilding the temple that had been left in desolation and left in ruins after Babylonian exile. And Zechariah the prophet comes and brings the word of the Lord to them right at that time as the temple rebuilding was just beginning. Like, it was actually just beginning. And he says this in Zechariah 4 and verse 10. It says, "Who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice. What are these seven? It's talking about the eyes of the Lord. For the eyes of the Lord rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Or another version says, the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. The Lord delights to see the work begin. And I laugh at this question, who has despised the day of small beginnings? Because I think if we're all honest, we've all despised the day of small beginnings. We all have. We've all, you know, at times surveyed our lives and surveyed what we have. And we've looked at the stockpile of seed of our life and we've called it not enough. We've called it small. We've called it insignificant. And we don't think that we have that much to offer. We'll say, you know, oh, it's just a silly idea. It's just a pipe dream. It's never going to come to pass. You know, it's just a little bit of hospitality. It didn't mean anything. It's just a phone call, just a text, you know, just a spare room that, you know, just a bed for someone to sleep on. Just, you know, we minimize and we diminish and we belittle all these things that we do. And we're tempted to look over our shoulder at everything that we don't have and everything that we're not. And I understand that, because I'm guilty of it as well. But the problem with it is that in that place, we're not likely to be being faithful. We're not likely to be faithful. Remember the guy in the parable of the talents, the guy that just got the one talent. And what did he do with the talent? He went and buried the talent. Everyone follow me. He went and buried the talent. The master came back and the master was unhappy, but he did not condemn the man. Because he had only had a small amount, he condemned the man because he didn't do anything with his small amount. It was actually a faithfulness issue. It was a faithfulness issue. And we too are going to struggle to apply faithfulness if we don't even see what we have as worthy. If we don't even see what we have as any use, you will never plant a seed if you don't understand the potential in the seed. You'll never be intentional with it. Out of Zechariah 4, we understand that God loves small beginnings. God delights to see a work begin. Is it possible in your life that you could be despising over something and God's actually rejoicing over it? He delights in our faithfulness, no matter how small that seed is. The longing of our hearts as believers. You know, the longing of my heart, as it's my life goal, it's my life mission statement, is to stand in eternity one day and hear the words of my Savior echo throughout eternity. Well done, good and faithful servant. It doesn't say well done, good and famous servant. It doesn't even say well done, good and fruitful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we need to hear. You see, because the Lord views the seed of your life very differently to the way we view the seed of our life. We might call it insignificant, but God calls it significant. We might even call it worthless, but God can look at that thing and call it limitless. Like without limitation, our God is amazing. All he needs is a seed. Turn to your neighbor and say, all he needs is a seed. You know, we just need to give him a seed to work with, because all he needs is a seed. And this is what I heard the Holy Spirit say. If we would be faithful with the seed, God will be faithful with the form. If we would just be faithful with the seed, God will be faithful with the form. See, we're responsible to the seed, but God's responsible for what that seed becomes. And if we would be faithful with that which is within our realm of responsibility, God will do something that's well beyond our capacity. He's a master at taking what is little and turning it into much. Think about the loaves and the fishes. Think about a baby in a manger. Think about 12 disciples. You know, all God needs is a seed, and we've all got seed. You know, we've all got seed. 1 Corinthians 3, you've heard us preach it before, but I feel like it illuminates this truth so powerfully, so mightily, when Paul says in verse 6 and 7, he goes, you know, I just planted a seed. That's all I did. the great apostle who we all reference. I just planted a seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Neither the one who plants or waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. He understood, I'm just a seed handler. That is all I am. I'm a seed handler. They just went about their business doing what the Lord had called them to do, being faithful with the city at the time that he put in their hand. They understood that if they were faithful with the seed, God would be faithful with the form. They preached and they teached. Teached. Yeah, I know, but it doesn't rhyme. That old past tense. They preached and they teached, but it was God. I prefer it. But it was God who caused the gospel to go through generations and across nations. He brought the increase true to his word. He brought the growth so that the church that we exist in today, according to scripture, still exists on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. 2,000 years later, we rest on the foundation of the apostles, which is mind-blowing. You know, God saw to it that as they were faithful with the realm of their responsibility, God did something that was well beyond their capacity. It's a principle of the kingdom that God makes things grow. He makes things grow. I'm so fascinated by David in scripture. He's just an incredible king of Israel, as we know. And we know from the book of Acts that he was a man after God's own heart. Remember that, where it says he's a man after God's own heart. We know that he was far from perfect. He had some really big mistakes in his life, but he pleased the heart of God. And in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 17, we're first introduced to a seed desire in David's heart. A seed desire. See, he had a desire in his heart to build a temple for the Lord in the city of Jerusalem. He wanted to build a permanent dwelling place for the Ark of the Covenant in the presence of God. And when we drop in on David in the book of 1 Chronicles, he was really well established in his kingship already. He'd been established as king, I think it was about a decade. And as a king, he had made the presence of God his priority. See, the Ark of the Covenant had been captured in the days of the reign of King Saul, captured by the Philistines. I nearly said the Philippines. Not the Philippines. It's been a long day. It'd been captured by the Philistines. And David, as king, had taken measures to go and to get the ark back and to bring it back to Jerusalem and to establish it right there in the midst of the people under the tabernacle. But something about the ark of God's presence just dwelling in a tent, something about that fact didn't sit right with David. And in 1 Chronicles 17, chapter 1, it says this. It says, after David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, here I am living in a house of cedar while the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent. It just didn't sit right with him that he was living in a permanent, beautiful palace, and yet the ark of God's presence, the very dwelling place of God on the earth, was under tent curtains. Like it wasn't working for him. The contrast really bothered him, and it sparked within him a holy seed of desire, a holy desire. And God spoke to David through Nathan the prophet as the story unfolds. And God actually said this to David regarding that seed desire in his heart. And he actually said, hey, you're not going to be the one that's going to build me the temple. You're a man of war. Your hands have shed too much blood on the earth. I will build it through your son, Solomon. I will build it in another generation. And I don't know about you, but that might have messed me up a little bit, like that news. You know, to have a seed desire in your heart, but then hear the news that you weren't to be the one to build it. You weren't to be the one to do it. You weren't going to be able to get to fulfill that thing. That news might have messed with me a bit. I don't know if I would have been faithful with the seed. I might have been tempted to walk away from that seed desire, walk away and kind of let that drop. But David did not. David did not. He says again in chapter 22. And what you've got to realize about chapter 22, that between chapter 17 and 22, 20 years have passed. 20 years have elapsed. And he'd been nurturing this holy desire to build a temple for the name of the Lord in his heart for 20 years. When he says this in chapter 22, verse 5, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations." Can you hear the language of his passion? Can you hear the language of a seed desire that is burning inside of him? He says, "Therefore, I'm going to make preparations for it." So David made extensive preparations before his death. Down to verse 14, "I have taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, quantities of bronze and iron, too great to be weighed, and wood and stone," and etc. and so on. David was so faithful to the seed. He just carried it in his heart and he nurtured it, even though he knew he was never going to build it. He prepared for it. And sure enough, as he was faithful with the seed, God was faithful with the form. In a subsequent generation, Solomon, his son, did indeed build the temple. 40 years from the time David announced, "I have this seed desire in my heart," Solomon actually dedicated the temple to the Lord. It was now built. It was now established. And once it was established, it stood for nearly 400 years in all of Israel. And the significance of that temple was so much more than an opulent physical building. It was so much more. What it stood for, what it represented amongst all Israel, was the very dwelling place of God on the earth, and a place of constant worship, and a place where every king who desired to seek the face of the Lord could come and reform a nation and turn their faces back to the Lord. I want you to never doubt what God can do with a seed. Never doubt what he can do with a seed. It's the nature of God to take our seed and do more than we could ask or think or imagine. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, when he was conveying to us the nature of the kingdom, he said to us, it grows. The nature of the kingdom is that it grows. It says this, verse 31 and 32, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and he planted in his field, and though it is so small, yet it grows, and when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches." The nature of God is to take that seed and cause it to become more and further reaching and more expansive and bigger than we can even imagine. That's who he is. That's your father. That's my father. That's our God. Like I remember so clearly the seed of a little community church called South City Church. And if you're like, what's South City Church? That's what this church was called before it was called Nations. It was South City Church. And it began in 2003 with a conversation. Just a conversation. Our then senior pastor, Pastor David Storer, who we will always love and honor, he called us into his office one day and he sat us down and he said, "I have a vision. I have a vision to plant a church and change a community." It was just a seed desire to see a community impacted. And Ken and I and the 30-odd people that planted South City Church alongside of us, we adopted that seed as our own. And we planted it and we watered it and we nurtured it and we bumped into hired halls week in and week out, and then we bumped back out again, and we did it year in, year out, and little by little we saw God be faithful. Little by little we saw it grow. It was just sprouts and shoots, sprouts and shoots, and sprouts and shoots, and God just did bit by bit. And I remember having this thought. Very distinctly, I remember having the thought. And at the time, I thought it was a wild thought. I thought it was a faith-filled thought, the biggest thought that I could think. I was like, imagine, just imagine if one day we could be a church of 1,000 people. It's like $1 million. Imagine, you know, 1,000 people. Clearly, I needed a greater imagination. I needed a bigger vision because, you know, pre-COVID, we'd have 1,500 people through this building alone, not to mention the other, you know, 6 locations and such and such. We were thinking 1,000 people, or at least I was, but God was thinking countless of thousands of people. And we were thinking about a little tiny community church in the south of the city of Perth, in the most isolated city in the world. But God was thinking about nations, and He was thinking about generations. And I feel like I'm only just beginning to understand that I don't understand. And I can never, ever, ever conceive of all that God wants to do. And if it's true for us, it's true for you, because we serve one and the same God, one and the same God. See, Ephesians 3:20 says that God wants to do measurably more than we could ask and think and imagine. And that is not just a theory, it's a testimony. That is a testimony, but it's only if we would be faithful with the seed. Faithful with the seed. Part of being faithful is actually being faithful. Filled. If we're going to be faithful, we have to be faith-filled. We have to be men and women of faith. See, the language that touches heaven and changes earth is the language of faith. The language of doubt, the language of cynicism, the language of fear, I promise you, that's not going to touch anything or change anything. Except cause things to die. You know, that's all it's going to do. But the language of faith will change things. The promises of God will change things. And it's not just about observing your seed. It's about bringing your seed with a faith-filled heart before your Father and speaking life over it, speaking some promises over it, speaking the ability of God over it, declaring that even though I might not be able, God is able. And He can make a way where there seems to be no way. You know, Waymaker is not just a song that we sing. It's a truth we should be believing. We have to believe it. It's faith. By faith we believe that He's working, even if we can't see anything. And as the singers and muses come and join me, I just want to end with a final encouragement to those that are called to be faithful. Because you might be sitting here and you might be thinking, you know what? I feel a bit discouraged right now, or I feel a bit down right now because I've been far from faithful. And if that's you right now, like, join the club. There's so many millions of moments in my life where I think I was far from faithful. Like, sometimes we start out good. You know, we start out strong, you know, but over time, it dwindles. We pray the promises of God for a little while, but then we kind of let them slide. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Or is it just me? You know, we can let those gifts and talents just sit on the shelves of our lives and not really do anything with them and not be faithful with them. We can kind of serve ourselves and our own agenda without really thinking about others or the Lord. But this is what I want to say, and this is how I want to encourage you. The most amazing thing about God is that even when we're faithless before Him, He's perfectly faithful towards us. Even when we're faithless before Him, He's perfectly faithful to us. Our ability to be faithful just pales into insignificance next to His faithfulness. Isn't He beautiful? You know, Psalm chapter 36 says this. It says, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." What's that trying to tell us? It's trying to tell us we can't comprehend it. It's too big. We can't quantify His love. We can't exhaust His faithfulness. We'll never, ever, ever get to the end of it in Christ Jesus, God is always faithful to you, no matter what you do with Him. And at any given point in time, we can make a choice. We can just make a choice. The gift and talent, I'm going to pull it back off the shelf of my life. The prophetic word, I'm going to get it back out of the drawer. The promise that I was believing, I'm going to pull it back off the shelf. I'm going to dust it off. I'm going to return to my Father in faithful service. You know, the scripture says, you know, if we confess our sin, if we confess our wrongdoing, He is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to set us back on that path of righteousness. Psalm 23 talks about Him leading us on paths of righteousness. That's what He wants to do in our life. He wants to take the seed of our life and cause it to grow and cause it to become something well outside of our capacity as we come into divine partnership with Him. How good is He? Does anyone feel encouraged in the place tonight? So good. So good. You know, next week, as we come to sow financially, this is what I want you to remember. The size of the seed doesn't matter. You just do what God's telling you to do. That's all. You just be obedient to Him. But we're just seed handlers. That's all we are. Next week, we're just seed handlers. And as much as we sow it into a building, we put it into the hands of God. And as we as a church, as we as a body of believers are faithful with the seed, God's going to be faithful with the form. And yes, it'll turn into, by the grace of God, a beautiful building at number 8 Playhouse Street. But it's going to be so much more than that. It's going to be generations, and it's going to be nations, and it's going to be about who that building represents and who it houses, the very dwelling place of God. It's going to be magnificent. It's going to be wonderful, and all glory is going to go to Him. Amen. 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 Come on, all over this place. You can stand to your feet. Oh, we love you, Lord. You can close your eyes in the presence of God. Just enjoy His presence. Like I said before, you didn't come to church to tick a box today. You didn't come this afternoon. You came to meet with Him. You can just engage with His presence right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in people's lives and hearts right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Like we do in every nation's church service, I just want to take a moment right now. I'm just going to address the people who might be in this room and you don't know Him. I don't know how you came to be in church tonight. Maybe a friend brought you. Maybe you've been coming for a while just checking things out. But maybe you would not call yourself a Christian here in this place. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've never invited Him in to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Maybe you did a while ago, a long time ago, but you've walked away from Him. You know you're not walking with Him. And anyhow, if I'm talking to you right now, I want you to know that your life is like a seed. And God has a hope and a future for you. He has something that He wants you to walk into. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. God loves you so much. He's got so many intentions in His heart for you. But it starts by placing your life into His hands. It starts by actually giving Him over the seed of your life. He can do things with your life that you could never achieve on your own. Set you on a hope and a future with Him. That it starts by actually turning the control of your life over to Him. So the Bible's very clear that men and women like you and me can have a relationship with God. Not a religious experience, but a living relationship where you know His love. You know it every day. And the way we do that is by believing and receiving Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to earth. He was fully God and fully man. He walked the earth just like you and I do. and he was perfect. And in his perfection, he went. He died on a cross. He died a gruesome death where he carried the sin of the world, the weight of the world on his shoulders. And he died, but God the Father rose him back to life. And in doing so, that very act bridged the gap between a holy and a perfect God and a humanity, you and me, that always get it wrong. And the truth of Scripture, the promise of Scripture, is that anyone that believes in Him can enter into this relationship with God. Anyone that believes. It doesn't say anybody that gets their act together. It doesn't say anybody that can sort themselves out. It says anyone that believes can enter into relationship with God. And I'm just aware that there might be people here tonight that are saying, I'd like to do that. I'd like a relationship with God. I'd like to. I do believe in Jesus. And I'd like to invite Him into my heart. I'd like to turn the seat of my life over to Him. So while every eye is closed all over this place, I just wonder if there's someone here that wants to do that tonight, because it'd be my honor to pray with you. I'm not going to single anyone out. I'm not going to make a scene. But I'll lead you in a prayer, and the whole church will join in praying the prayer with you. But tonight you can actually leave knowing, leave assured that you have a relationship with God. So with every eye closed to respect this moment, if that's you, if you'd like me to pray with you tonight in that fashion, why don't you lift your hand nice and high so I can see, so I know who I'm praying for tonight. All over this room. All over this room. You're so special to God. You would know if He's speaking to you right now because your heart's beating real fast. And you wish the moment would pass. But I kind of feel like we just need to wait for you. All over this place. Someone needs to come back to God. See any hands right now, but I really do sense that there's someone wrestling with this moment. I just want to say, come and see me afterwards. If you're struggling, come and talk to me after the service. I would love to talk to you more. I'd love to pray with you and to you know, encourage you in what God's doing in your life and encourage you in what He wants to do in your heart. But for the rest of us, come on, we're not done yet. It's only early. We're not done yet. Because God's wanting to speak to us all in this area of faithfulness. He's coming back for His bride. He's coming back for His bride, and He's working to make her clean, and He's working to make her pure, and He's working to make her blameless. And that is you, and that is I. That we would be a faithful people, that we would be a people in all we say and all we do. It would be all about Him. It would be all for Him, that we would be happy to belong to Him, happy to be devoted unto Him. I just want to ask you a question tonight. What is it that you have in your hand? What is it that you have in your hand? And maybe even more importantly, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? What's the seed in your life? What's the sphere of your influence? What are the gifts and the talents that you possess that He's gifted you with? Are you using them to bring Him some glory? Are you presenting that seed before your Father and asking Him that He would make it and asking Him that He would shape it? Or have you just let that thing slide? Have you just let it go? He's calling us back to a place of faithfulness. What are you speaking? What are you speaking over the seed of your life? Are you calling it useless? Are you calling it of little value? Are you calling it worthless? Are you calling it insignificant? Because I feel like God wants to allow some faith-filled words to start to bubble up in our spirit and tumble up in our mouth. Would someone just get a promise in their mouth that God is the God of the impossible. And with man, it might not be possible, but with God, all things are possible. And I feel like we just need to start declaring the faithfulness of God over the seed of our life and declaring that He can make a way where there seems to be no way. And God just wants to work in our hearts tonight, today. And I've just asked the band to prepare this song, and I'm not even going to call you out of your seats, because I just want to take the next 5 minutes for you to do business with God right where you are. And see, He's speaking to individuals, different ways, to different people. But the prayer of my heart is that we would rise in faithfulness, and that we would take all that we have and all that we say, and it would be an offering unto Him. And that as we are faithful with seed, He will indeed be faithful with form. So why don't you sing this song and make it a declaration tonight.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.